For us, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We've been going through walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We are concluding the series today. To walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we learn, first of all, that we have to be His disciples. Because you can't go in someone's footsteps unless you're following Him. The second thing is, we need to walk in His humility. It's not about where we want to go, it's where God is taking us. And that's how you walk in His footsteps. It's empty yourself of you and put God in there. The third thing is that we need to love Him. You'll go with someone if you love them. You'll go the path that they're on if you love them. And we talked about walking in the love of Jesus. Last week we went through walking in the obedience of Jesus. You can't go off the path. You have to walk in His footsteps. So if you got a hint from the kids program today, today we're going to be walking in the power of Jesus. Because you know, in order to walk, you have to have power. You can't walk standing still. You can't walk unless your muscles are working. You can't walk unless your mind is working. You can't walk unless your eyes are working. You can't walk unless your heart's working. And we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Walking in the power of Jesus. But before we read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You that we can walk in Your footsteps through Your power. Lord, I pray that You bind Satan on our behalf. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would fill us with Your power. That we would see the way You want us to go. That Your truth would change our lives, and Father, that we would follow You. Lord, I pray that if someone here does not know You as Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. For us, Lord, help us get rid of dead batteries. Help us to turn on the light switch. Help us to plug into You, that we can walk in Your power. We love You. We thank You for all that You do for us. And we ask that You help us to see You today in this message. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. That ye may what? Walk. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious what? Power. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In way of introduction, there are seven things that we see in this passage. And then we'll have 3 points about how we do this. The first thing is found in verse 10. The power of God allows us to walk worthy. It says here that ye might walk what? Worthy of the Lord. There is no other walk with God except a worthy walk.
Amen.
Amen.
It must be a worthy walk, and that's by the power of God. Secondly, in verse 10, the power of God allows us to be fruitful. It says, being fruitful in every good work. You can't do a good thing unless you have a good motivation, unless you have good power to do it. And we're supposed to bear fruit. And the vine can't bear fruit unless it's got the power of the plant in it. The power of God allows us to be fruitful. The power of God allows us to increase in knowledge and the knowledge of Him. It says, in increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're not increasing in the knowledge of God, you're a dead battery. You need a replacement. You need a recharge today. Because if you're not increasing in knowledge, you're dead. Fourthly, verse 11. The power of God strengthens us. Strengthened with what? All might. Who is the might? He is the might. According to His glorious power. The power of God strengthens us. Also in verse 11, the power of God allows us to show the character of Christ. It says, unto what? All patience and long suffering with joyful. It's how we can deal with a weird world.
Amen.
This morning on the way to church, we were stopped out here at Tillman Ridge in Wiseman, my favorite light because it's always red. And we're lined up in traffic. And we're about the third car back. And the light is red, and there was nobody coming out the other way. And this little white car comes out, goes to the left turn lane, runs a light, just keeps on going. The world doesn't have patience. The world doesn't understand God's power. We need to understand both. We need to be patient because that's a fruit of the Spirit. And patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. I thank God every time that light is red. No, I don't. I get frustrated at it. But you know something? We need to get in everything what? Give thanks. The power of God allows us to have, to show the character of Christ in a world that doesn't care, that doesn't follow the rules, that basically says there is no God. Sixthly, the power of God allows us to be heirs of heaven. In verse 12 it says, which hath made us meet, or made us sufficient, or made us worthy, or made us have the ability to do it, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Turn this off them in darkness. Turn this on them in light. Because the power of God delivers us from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're already there, folks. We're just waiting for the call home.
That's right.
Like Ricky experienced. So the power of God is absolutely essential to walk in His footsteps.
Amen.
So this morning, quickly, I want to show three things about the power of God. First of all, it's the power of Jesus in us. It's the power of Jesus in us. Jesus empowers us through the Holy Spirit. Now, in the early church year, the Holy Spirit was given down at Pentecost. So they could see, and the world could see, that God was there. But you know, we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we get saved.
Amen.
But in order to have God's power, you need to be saved. So you can have the Holy Spirit. And there's a receipt involved. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. Power is useless unless it's used. Unless it goes for the intent of what the power is going for. Okay? Ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Power is promised. Power is enabling. The power is everywhere. No matter where you go. But we have to have the receipt of it. We have to have it received. Jesus empowers us through the Holy Spirit. We see the receipt, and we should see the result. The batteries are dead in this mic. My voice will not be amplified. If the batteries are dead in your life, then the work of God will not be amplified and magnified. And He won't be glorified. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this: "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You want to see power? Stick your finger in a light socket and see what happens. Stick your tongue on a battery. It'll give you a thing. You know, God's power should make a difference in our life. But you know that it's there. Even though we don't see it, we know that it's there. Down to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? According to the power that worketh in us. Are we a lively stone? Or are we just a dead rock? Jesus empowers us through the Holy Spirit if we have received it. And it's not a second blessing. It comes at salvation. And if it works in our lives, there is a result. The Holy Spirit enables us to live victoriously. Several years ago, there was a contemporary Christian song, "Can't Keep a Good Man Down," talking about Christ. Here's the point. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot be held down. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this: "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead," what? "Dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," or put life, or renew, "your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And you can't lose it, and God won't take it away. All we can do is turn off the light switch. You can't be held down unless you want to be held down.
Right.
And we can't be defeated. Yes, Friday at the graveside, we're talking about the hope that we have in Christ and the victory that we have in Christ over death. And the point that the Holy Spirit enables us to live victorious, because you can't be held down, because you cannot be defeated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says this: "But thanks be to God, which have what? Given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The power of Jesus in us happens because Christ empowers us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables us to live victorious. If you're living a defeated life today, then you need God in your life.
Amen.
You need to turn back to him.
Amen.
And let him renew you. Shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus is at work in us. Think about that. We were given life by God because of his resurrection power.
Amen.
We're given strength by God through his resurrection power. All things come from him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his" what? "Power." I think too much we limit God.
Yeah.
We limit his power because we don't think about how great it truly is. "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." But what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the what? To the working of his mighty power. If you let God work in your life, you'll see his power.
Amen.
You'll do things you never thought possible in a spiritual sense. "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." We can walk in the power of Jesus because we have the power of Jesus in us. He empowers us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to live victoriously and not to fail. And the same power that raised Jesus is at work in us. But power has to have the authority behind it. And we need to walk in the authority of Jesus. Jesus gave us authority over the enemy. In Luke chapter 10, verses 19, it says, "Behold, I give you power to tread up on serpents and scorpions." I am not telling you this morning to go out and step on a scorpion. I proved it in my own house. I stepped on a scorpion, it stung me and it hurt. Okay? But I didn't die. I thought I was. This was an apostolic gift to me. But you know something? God could do it. Even today, if he wanted to. But look at the next phrase. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Here's two conditions for this. This will work when you are where God wants you to be. And secondly, when you are doing what God wants you to do. Now, I will give you an illustration of this in Paul's life. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is sent to Rome as a prisoner because he appeals to Caesar. In Acts chapter 27, they're on a ship and they get caught in a storm. And Paul prays and God tells him that everybody is going to be everybody will survive if they stay in the ship. You need to be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. They came up on the coast of a little island called Melita, which is Malta. And they run aground and the ship breaks up in pieces. And people that were on the ship swim to shore. We would think, that's terrible. But God was moving. God answered. His power was there to save their lives. All of them. The power of Paul. Of God and power. And Paul kept all those others alive too. So now they get onto the shoreline and Acts chapter 28 begins. And they're wet and they're cold and it's rainy and it's stormy. And there were unbelievers out there on the island and they were making a fire. And as Paul is gathering up sticks, a snake comes out and bites him. It's a poisonous snake. And verses 5 through 9 of Acts chapter 28 says, "And he shook off the beast into the fire." You know, that's where the serpent's going to go in eternity, in fire. "And felt no what? Harm." This is an application of this verse, and it did. Paul wasn't even there when Christ told his disciples this in Luke chapter 10. He wasn't even there. He was on the other side of the religious leaders. "Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead immediately, suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they said, hey, look at this. We're going to watch this guy foam at the mouth and keel over. They looked for a great while and saw no harm to come him. They changed their mind. Folks, the power of God should change your mind. It should change other people's minds. When they see the power of God in working in you. And said that he was a God. No, it's God working in him. In the same quarter were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him." Talked about Ricky Friday, that Ricky understood the power of prayer. And Ricky got his power from God because he prayed. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah called down fire. Elijah caused it not to rain. Of drought. "So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, and people got saved because of what just happened here, where God's power was shown in Paul's life and shown to others, and then they believed. Jesus has all authority. We walk in that authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We need to understand what 1 John 4:4 says. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Jesus gave us authority over the enemy. Why are we running from him? Jesus has all authority, and we need to walk in that authority. And then we are called to exercise authority in Jesus' name. In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." But here's the deal. We're called to exercise God's authority. But we need to know Him. The only way this is going to work is when we possess that authority. Another example. After Pentecost, Peter and John are walking into the temple. There was a guy at the side of at the temple doors that had been lame for 40 years, laying there. And he begged. That's how he made his living, because he couldn't work. He couldn't work from home. They didn't have telephones and internet then. So he was begging. And so Peter and John walk by and they see, here's a man that needs need. Here's a man that needs God's power. And they look on him. And he holds up his hand to get some money. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, "And Peter says, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he did. And he went into the temple, jumping up and down and praising. And now the word of God is being preached. Religious leaders go, "We thought we got rid of Jesus. And now it's just even bigger. Because God's power can't be held down. Can't be defeated."
Amen.
Can't be defeated. But the whole point about it is, in order to call this in Jesus' name, we have to possess the authority of knowing the power of Jesus in us. And let that power work through us. And it's more than just saying Jesus' name. There's a lot of people out here today that say they know Jesus, but they don't have His power. We studied the other day, having a form of godliness, but denying the what?
Power
thereof. From such turn away. Folks, you got to be plugged into the wall. The wire's got to be connected. The switch has got to be pulled on. All your batteries need to be charged. All of it. And it's more than just saying Jesus' name. Here's my favorite story. In Acts chapter 19. Paul goes and he's healing people. And in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, they thought they could do things in their own strength, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord, saying, We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preacheth. And those were set, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. One dude took on seven and beat them all." You're defeated when you don't have the power. "And prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Folks, it's time not to just profess the name of Christ. It's time to possess Christ and His power. Then you can walk in the authority of Jesus. You can walk in His footsteps because you know the power of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives us victory over sin and death. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Can't go back your old way. That leads you to a short circuit. That leads you to a ground. And all the power just goes useless. Jesus' resurrection gives us victory over sin and death. Resurrection power gives us hope for eternal life. Also, the grace that we use, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're not supposed to sorrow as those having no hope. If you know Christ, you have His power. You have His promises. You know where you're going. You know His footsteps. You know what it takes to be obedient. You know what it takes to love. You know what it takes to be humble. You know what it takes to be a disciple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 22. But now in Christ Jesus, is Christ Jesus risen from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Up from the grave He arose. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. He lives.
Amen.
And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, for by one man's sin, sin entered the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And it goes on, talks about that Christ gave us life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God had what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've done that, you have His power. Let's use it.
Amen.
For as in Adam all died, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The power of Jesus' resurrection gives us victory over sin and over death. The power of Jesus' resurrection gives us hope of our eternal life. The power of Jesus' resurrection allows us to walk in the power of that resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I'll go back to where the kids were. But we'll finish the verse. That I may know Him. What did our text say? By the power, we'll increase the knowledge and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, allowing you to get through the trial. Being made conformable to His death. This morning, church, you're in one of two states. You're either powerful or powerless. Which one are you? Do you know Him as your Savior? Then you're connected to the power source. If you're yielded to Him and you're humble and you're obedient and you love Him, then that power can flow through you. And there's no grit failure. Christ paid the entire bill and it's unlimited power. And we need that power to work in our life and we can be powerful. Let's be powerful for God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You for this time of invitation. Father, help us in order to be powerless but powerful in You. Lord, we thank You for all the promises that You give us. And we ask that You just work in our lives. We give You this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.